Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, for the Catholic Church in Ireland, there's an ongoing problem with the number of priests and their ages. Most are having to take on larger and larger workloads, and only 2.5% of them in this country are under the age of 40. Some are still working past the age of 75. There is, it seems, a severe problem with men wishing to join. Father Seamus McEntee is Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Dublin. Afternoon, Seamus.
Hello, Sean. Good afternoon, and good to chat with you and to be on News Talk with your listeners as well.
How many men are studying for the priesthood at the moment?
I don't know the exact number, Sean. There's 26 dioceses in Ireland. I'm Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Dublin. I think it's somewhere, there's a new group of men due to come in on the 8th of September into Maynooth. So if we're just talking about diocesan priesthood, because there's those who study for religious life as well and be ordained and help and work in the various dioceses around Ireland, I think it's somewhere maybe around 50-ish thereabouts.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Mm. And in Dublin,
not huge numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. In Dublin, what's the number?
Coming September, we've just had one man ordained in the last month for the Archdiocese as a deacon, a transitional deacon as opposed to a permanent deacon, where they remain deacons. They can be married men. One is just ordained as a transitional deacon. He'll be ordained to the priesthood hopefully within the next year or so. We have one for the Archdiocese in Dublin studying philosophy, and we'll have a new entrant coming in studying theology in September. So if you take in September, we will have two studying and one ready for ordination.
Right, okay. Yeah, and so in the main, now obviously, you know, we know attendance numbers at church are way down from what they used to be. Is that mainly what the issue is, or are there other factors at play?
Yeah, there are other factors. Again, I suppose there has to be a mind shift in the thinking of people and in the thinking of what is church. And for me, and I think that the shift is the church has always been the mystical body of Christ and the people of God. And so the church is not just about priests, it's about the active involvement of lay people as well. And so there's a shift there. We have in the Archdiocese with Archbishop Dermot Farrell leading this Building Hope, which is parish partnerships coming together to take into account, you know, the falling number of vocations, the falling number of priests being active in parishes. But I think it's more perhaps a crisis of faith. Is a crisis, word crisis is a big word, but the faith level of faith has fallen. And so if faith has fallen and people are not practicing, then out of that, then it's going to happen that there's going to be fewer men with faith. You need faith as a prerequisite to consider even priesthood or to be involved in the church or to be practicing. If you look at family sizes as well over the years, they've fallen. You know, my own dad, there was 14 in his family. My mom, there was 8. You know, so family sizes have fallen over the years. And I think commitment as well, I'd say, is another thing. You know, people, younger people today are slower to commit, even, say, to marriage or to become members of political parties as well, I would say, or even to stay. You know, the old times, you'd look back, maybe got into a bank or civil service job or a Garda or nursing or something. But people swap and change around now. And the idea of that long-term, lifelong commitment to anything, I think, it's kind of countercultural at the moment to where young people see their lives. You know, it's living in the moment. It's moving from one moment of interest and hype and glitter and glamour to another one.
Fairness, I'd say there's a big difference between joining the priesthood and joining Fine Gael. The more onerous entry process, I would assume, for the priesthood. Could you tell us actually a bit about that? How long does it take? And is there kind of, if in the first couple of years, is there a, if you like, thinking about it period?
Yeah, well, the word the church uses is discernment. So that's a biggish word for some people who may not be used to it. Another word you could use at the early stages is kind of exploring the idea. You're not going to think about something if you're not even aware of it. So if it's not on your radar, it doesn't even come into your thought process. So obviously, if someone's practicing their faith, Or they've come back to the faith, they've been away, and they're starting to think, you know what, God is real for me, my faith is real, and it means something and touches me really deeply inside, and I feel moved to share this love that I feel from God, to share this with other people, because that's what he wants us to do. If you've an ocean or a desire then to serve people, be it in the army or politics as well, some people go those routes, but if you want to work and your faith is important to you, then what you could do, and I would say if you're practicing, visiting your local church at weekends and you feel somehow drawn or moved that you've gift and talents that you feel are not being lived out or that you can't live out or practice or whatever in what you're doing, and you feel drawn or called, it's a movement, a stirring within you that comes from God. It's a calling that might or would hopefully inspire somebody to talk to their parish priest, talk to somebody of faith, maybe a relative or a grandparent. And then eventually it's contact a vocations director of the diocese. That would be me. I have an assistant as well, Father Villa Shocknessy. Contact either one of us. We would be the first point of call, appointed by the Archbishop. And then we would accompany them for up to 2 years, a year, at least a year. There's documents put out by Pope Francis that are guidelines for vocations directors and the whole process. So we would meet with them regularly, occasionally, talk to them about their faith, what's happening in their life. What are they reading? Are they praying? Are they involved in their local parish? Have they got academic abilities? Do they have a kind of a involved pastorally in any way? Do the poor, are they involved with the poor or some of those societies, you know, that work with underprivileged people or whatever? And have they got a sense of an awareness of God and that? Meeting with them, send them on Come and Sees, maybe to Maynooth, days of exploration, meeting with other people. Eventually then, if we felt as a vocation director that they were in the position that we felt that they could have something like a vocation, and they felt that as well, we would ask them to apply to be a candidate for priesthood. They would be interviewed by the Archdiocese as a panel. There'd be psychological assessments, medical assessments, references would be got. So trying to get a full picture of who this person is, presented to the Archbishop, he decides, you know, yes, this guy seems to have the qualities that would make a good priest. They would go on then to the first stage, would be appropriate duty gear, over to Spain. There's a 9-month or 6-month course in Valladolid or Salamanca. And then they would come back, start in Maynooth philosophy. That's a stage called discipleship stage. If they had a primary degree already, they probably would only do 2-year philosophy. Then they would go into theology, a 3-year degree in theology, or Bachelor of Divinity is called. And in that, there would be another year, a pastoral year. They'd probably get a higher diploma in pastoral theology, working in a parish, getting parish experience, as well as doing some studies as well. In Maynooth at the same time.
God, there's a lot there. Is there a dropout rate? Do people ever kind of drop out after 2 years or 3 years?
I'd say in the past, Sean, men probably weren't as vetted as much, or certainly as much as they are now. Mm. And I think what really, the four areas of formation that they would go through in their formation of their 7 or 8 years to become a diocesan priest would be pastoral. So that's the outreach, working with people. They need to be able to talk with people and engage with people, because that's what priest mostly does. The academic, they need to be able to pass their exams. They need to be spiritual people, people of prayer. And the human formation, Sean, is really important. That might not have been there in the past. So someone who's aware of themselves, who's self-confident, knows who they are, what they're about, their gifts and talents, and knows their own weaknesses as well, and be able to address them. Yeah. And so they're working all the time through, apart from all the studies and all like that, there's that ongoing backdrop of that formation.
Can I just say now, as we've been, since we've started talking, Seamus, I have a computer screen in front of me, and you know, comments come up. Every other comment, women priests. If you reject 50% of the population, no wonder. It's not up to you. Obviously, you're not in charge of the Catholic Church, but at the same time, it is a problem. It is perhaps even a problem for people who used to go to Mass, you know, a bit more regularly, and might be tempted to go back if a change like that was made.
Yeah, there may be, Sean. I don't know what other way to answer that, to say that it's above my pay grade. There's documents out there. There's reasons why people want to look into it, why women can't be or won't be ordained priest. If people can't, you know, read that or say it, it's not down to me, as you've said. That's the way it is.
If less people are going to mass, don't you need less priests? So, does one necessarily transfer into the other?
Well, I think so. I mean, God has said, you know, through Christ, He'll never abandon His people. He'll never leave the church without ministers, without Him being present, without the Eucharist. And if you look at maybe the correlation in the ratios between the practicing numbers back in the past and now, you're probably, like, the masses are still there, you know, and the game is far from over. And all you have to do is look at the Euros that were on there, the Euro 24, look at the Olympics on at the moment, the number of people blessing themselves, the footballers, the sports people, they're still alive and active, is what I'm saying.
You got us on that one, all right. Thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Father Seamus McEntee, their vocations director for the Archdiocese of Dublin.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.